So how did we get here? How come that over just a few decades, Western society stopped heaping shame on single mums and started pondering whether marriage isn't, after all, just another weird lifestyle choice? What powered the paradigm shift of values and lifestyle we now call the sexual revolution? First, let me define how I use the term sexual revolution. I'm referring to the overturning and liberalisation of long-established social and moral attitudes to sex that began in Western culture in the 1960s and continues to the present day. At the heart of this revolution sits the relaxation of the idea that sex is given for enjoyment within the commitments, including toward children, of marriage. But there has been a broader unravelling as well. Today, sex is portrayed much more explicitly in literature and films. Cohabitation has become the norm. Attitudes to same-sex sex have been liberalised. Pornography is mainstream. Sadomasochism causes amusement rather than concern. And the idea of gender fluidity is everywhere. Nevertheless, the core of the revolution is the severing of the link between sex and marriage that for centuries had occupied the mainstream of Western culture. What caused this great unravelling? We can take two broad approaches to understanding what happened. The first is to explore changes in economic and social circumstances in play over this period. For example, putting the economic case, the retreat from marriage can be linked with the introduction of generous welfare benefits in the wake of growing post-war prosperity. This undermined the need for traditional male breadwinners and created a raft of new opportunities for women. Progressive deindustrialization and the rise of service industries also multiplied employment possibilities for women. And campaigns for the equalisation of income between the sexes put yet more strain on the traditional roles that had shored up the institution of marriage. Women just didn't need men anymore. Or at least, they no longer needed them in the same way. Other social and cultural developments built upon these changes. Second wave feminism raised women's expectations of equality and sexual satisfaction further. Divorce laws were liberalised and, as more children were being successfully cared for in non-traditional relationships, couples lost the motivation to stick together for the sake of the kids. The collective outcome of these changes, as welcome as many of them were, was a weakening of the link between sex and marriage, and the unravelling of the idea of marriage as an institution founded on a for better, for worse commitment of permanence. The final nail in the coffin of traditional marriage was almost certainly the introduction of safe, reliable contraception. At a stroke, sex was uncoupled from childbearing and all the responsibilities that go with it. People's bodies were their own, and they were free to do with them as they wished. Ideas that change the world. Besides these social and economic changes, an alternative approach to understanding the sexual revolution is to explore the influence of new ideas that were catching on at the time, especially new forms of individualism. What exactly is individualism? It's about the weight we attach to individual thought and action relative to the importance of authorities and traditional institutions. In other words, individualism is about the value of thinking for yourself versus what you are being told by other people. It's also something to do with the uniqueness of the individual, their rights, and their individual value. So there's much to celebrate in individualism. Many of today's civic freedoms and privileges are rooted in the new ideas about authority and the power of the individual that arose during the European Enlightenment of the late 17th and early 18th centuries. It's good to think for yourself.